now, though, I wanted to speak with IT commentator Stilgherrian about an article that caught my eye, and I think it'll interest everyone who, I guess, owns a smartphone or indeed has an interest in technology, or perhaps the broader overarching debate with regard to privacy. Leon Biner, before 1 o'clock, had a discussion at length about the erosion of privacy in people's rights. Well, I wonder what people will make of this. There is a new company called Turnstile that is offering to put sensors around a city. They're doing this in Canada at the moment, and then they relay that information to people that might be interested in it. What kind of information is it? Well, it's where you are and what you're doing. If your iPhone is on and your Wi-Fi is active, they know when you go to the gym. They know probably where you live. They know if you're going to the doctor and therefore if you're sick. There's a whole host of things that can be told about you. A lot of people will be absolutely dismayed at the thought of that because there is no pushing of a button to say you accept these terms and conditions. It just is. Modern technology, Stilgherrian, is it a good thing or is it something to be worried about?
Oh, g'day, Will. Look, I think it's a bit of both, really. Any tool, any technology has a good side and a bad side. And although smartphones offer us some amazing tools and toys to use, you know, the flip side is that what we're essentially carrying in our pockets is a tracking device.
This amazes me. I can't imagine that when the technology was first built, this was an intended consequence, or maybe that's my naivety. But it seems people have managed to cotton on to an aspect of something that was, you know, so we could use Google Maps and things like that, and are now using it for this commercial business perspective. Are you aware of this Canada case, and does it surprise you, is it more widespread than that?
Look, it doesn't surprise me because what Turnstile are doing in Toronto in Canada, that's their hometown, is really just a natural extension of a whole lot of location tracking and what in the business is called location-based services that the smartphones have been able to participate in for quite a while. Look, the basic problem, even a dumb mobile phone has to constantly tell the telephone network where you are so that, you know, you get your phone call. But the smartphone also has Wi-Fi, so you can connect to a Wi-Fi hotspot and connect to the internet at a much cheaper rate. It's got a Bluetooth transmitter in it so that it can connect to, I don't know, a headset or your car or something like that. And unless you remember to turn all that stuff off, and kind of the whole point is you leave it turned on because it's handy.
Yeah.
It's constantly saying, well, I am this smartphone with this unique ID number, and here I am. So what these guys in Toronto have done is they said, well, look, let's just, instead of relying on the broad location data that your phone puts out, and, you know, you do that, as you say, Will, every time you look up, you know, I'm on Manly Road, can you show me where the nearest Italian restaurant is?
Yeah.
Then, obviously, you have to tell Google where you are so they can say, well, here's your nearest few restaurants. And, by the way, any restaurant in the area that's chosen to advertise can be alerted, well, hello, you're in the area too, let's show you an ad for the special one at the restaurant. These guys have taken that to like a finer grain detail. So there are other companies doing the same thing inside shopping centres and even inside individual department stores and supermarkets. So they can tell which aisle you go to. And if you happen to wander down the chocolate and confectionery aisle for 2 minutes and looked at a shelf and then wandered away without picking anything up and chucking it in your shopping cart, they can send you a quick pop-up ad and say, hey, hazelnut chocolate, 20% off,
you're
just
kidding.
For you.
That's extraordinary.
And this is what they're starting to work with. So the guys in Toronto have been doing the same sort of thing. They can say, okay, you came to the restaurant this night. Where have you spent 5 nights this week? That must be where your home is. Oh, that's in an expensive suburb. I bet you'd be up for our special degustation menu that we're planning on, you know, a public holiday or something like that. They know that if you're not in town, then there's no point to keep sending you ads if you were just visiting once. So they won't harass you.
It's like junk mail hell, it sounds like.
It could be. And it starts to get interesting because all of these companies are essentially funding these services by trading in information about you, your personal data. Now, this has happened long before the internet. Every kind of, you know, questionnaire you filled in or filling your loyalty card at the supermarket, they track, we noticed you're interested in expensive motor oil. That probably means you have an expensive car. So when it comes to the end of the financial year, we'll send you a junk mail about the latest specials at the end of the financial year to buy a new car or finance for a new car or things like that. But when you start getting into this fine grain detail, what if we notice that you walked into a marriage guidance counsellor's office or a psychiatrist's office, or it's a young girl but she walks into an abortion clinic? You know, I mean, you've suddenly got a whole lot of extremely personal data being collected. And certainly in places like the United States, fortunately we have some stronger privacy laws here, but in the United States, there's nothing wrong for all that information being passed on, say, to an employment reference service. So we're already starting to see you apply for a job in the United States, and, you know, a woman applies for a job and it says, oh, yeah, but we notice she's visiting a family planning website, so maybe don't hire her because she'll go off on maternity leave in 6 months.
Wow.
Or, hey, I know you wanted to hire that new architect or that new team leader, but we notice he's been visiting the pharmacy a lot lately. Maybe there's a health problem he hasn't told you about.
So you're saying that the law in Australia means it's less likely to happen here, or does it just have to be a slightly sort of different and perhaps less invasive form of technology?
Look, it's at the moment all this location-based stuff is a fuzzy area.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly knowing who you are and what your phone number is and what you've bought is kind of information that they can't really trade in. But the fact that you walked down a street at a particular time and went past the bottle shop, that's not information you're giving them and volunteering them. That's just a fact of the world. They could have sat a couple of uni students and paid them minimum wage to sit on a chair and, you know, just take your photo as you walk down the street.
Yeah.
And that is why it's a borderline area. Now, there's some places, a couple of cities in the US have been looking at this. Certainly, there's been cases in North America and certainly in Europe where this idea of your locational privacy is a new thing and it's starting to become a legal concept. But like all these things, the technology just races ahead of where our legislators in Parliament House can get their head around it.
Yeah, that's right. That seems to be the problem and has been ever since the advent of the internet, or perhaps even before that. Stilgherrian, is it your view that then people should be walking around and switching off Wi-Fi and trying to fight against these forces? Or is it something that does need to be dealt with on a sort of a legislative level?
Well, a bit of both has got to happen. It's going to take a while for the legislators to catch up. The Privacy Act is under review at the moment, so there's all sorts of discussion papers out there from federal parliaments. And I just keep encouraging people to say, look, get interested. The Privacy Commissioner actually wants to hear your views on this stuff.
And without wanting to be too tinfoil hat about it, you raise a very good point. People need to show an interest and perhaps a degree of concern about things like this if it does worry them, because, you know, on the other side, there's going to be a lot of money from a lot of business who would be particularly interested in allowing this sort of technology to flourish in Australia. So there's going to be a voice in favour. And if people are concerned, they need to say something about it.
Oh, absolutely. And indeed, if you want to put a bit more of a tinfoil hat on, a lot of the hacking that happens into corporate databases is to steal personal information, and that can then be put to more nefarious purposes. And let's be real, if everybody's mobile phone in a family is at a restaurant for the night, then they know no one's at home and they can knock the place over and steal the telly.
Yeah, it's a frightening thought. Stilgherrian, just before I do let you go, I wanted to raise with you too a story that did catch my eye. I don't know if it's a case of the little guy getting one over the big corporate bad guy, but I did note that Apple in the United States is being forced to repay some $30 million worth of app purchases that have been, and we've all heard of cases like this, where the kids or someone have gotten into the iPad or the iPhone, they've spent a heck of a lot of money on mum or dad's credit card, and it's ended up putting them well and truly out of pocket. Is this good news for consumers?
Look, it is. This is an American decision, of course, so it only affects American decisions in this case, but Australia has certainly been watching this case. This is the classic one where the game that you download for the kids to play might be free, but then to get the magic sword or to kill the dragon or whatever it might be, they need something in the game, and that's then going to cost them money. Hey, Dad, I need your password just to get the magic sword. Put in the password and $20 off your account. Very good. And some people have been caught with hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. So Apple has been ordered in the United States to pay back at least $35 million US to people who think that they've been ripped off in this way, or that, you know, just like, hang on, I didn't authorize that. And to make it clearer that even when you put in the password, you're unlocking it not just for that purchase, but for another 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And in the case of Google's Android phone, it's 30 minutes. So, you know, the same thing happens over there. The good news, I suppose, is that Apple has been pinged for this. And, you know, the ACCC here in Australia at ACCC.gov.au, they actually have a page explaining this and showing how you can tighten up your settings to turn off these in-app purchases altogether. But when you actually put it in context, $35 million is the kind of money that Apple can afford to just lose behind the couch. that they make out of their app store $10 billion a year, and Apple's current cash reserves are nearly $150 billion. So this isn't even a tenth of 1% of the cash that Apple has lying around.
But gee, if Apple were a country, I suspect it'd probably have one of the more powerful economies in the world. It's
phenomenal. If you want to throw here's a little factoid for you. Of all of the cash reserves of every company in the entirety of the United States, 10% of it is Apple's alone.
That's extraordinary. An economy of that size, to have so much tied up in just one company, that is just phenomenal. Stilgherrian, great speaking to you. Thank you for your help.
My pleasure, Will, anytime.
Stilgherrian is an IT commentator, writer in a number of publications, and a particularly knowledgeable person when it does come to security and privacy issues on the internet. You can't help but be a little bit frightened by what it all means with regard to smartphones, location technology, and the lack of privacy. Does it concern people? Are you aware of the propensity or the potential to be tracked as a result of just walking around with your phone? You don't need to sign up. You don't fill out a questionnaire. You turn it on. People know where you are, and companies buy that information. It doesn't sound like we're far off from having something similar here in Australia.